Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they're archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about happiness. And it seems like, well, this is kind of a business program, and we talk about mediation and negotiation and consensus building and alternative dispute resolution skills and like that. How come we're talking about happiness, which seems kind of, well, personal and not very business-like? But you know, if your group is unhappy, if your group dynamic is cranky and unhappy and they don't really not getting along very well and they hate to come, you're not going to get a real successful outcome. And if you are, it's going to not be a real workable one because these people didn't learn to work together when they were negotiating it. So happiness is important even in the business context, right? Right. And you might even teach people some skills that can carry over into the rest of their lives. Like consensus building. What an idea, huh? Yes. So, let's talk about happiness. So what do we as leaders within our context, the context of an alternative to dispute resolution and mediation and negotiation, need to do to infuse happiness into the group dynamic so that we can create a successful outcome? And that these people can work together when we're done with our leadership role and they're in the implementation stage. Yes, because somebody has to implement whatever it is we decide. And as leader, we've gone on. They need to be able to work together to implement the fabulous conclusion that we've... Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to create that, to create an atmosphere of, well, sometimes we call it convivial, but really it's one where people are happy to be there and happy to work together and happy to work on having the successful outcome. Oh, I think the first thing that we're going to talk about is patience. And we do need to have patience, don't we? We need to take 3 deep breaths and understand that although we, as leader, have done this, oh, a gazillion times, we've done it a lot. These people, this is their first try, their first time. It's all an experiment with them, all new and exciting, right? Mm-hmm. So we are going to need some patience. Mm-hmm. This is a very good point, too. A lot of people are saying you have to be happy to create happy. You have to model happiness. You have to actually be happy to be there as the leader. And really showing your enthusiasm, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a convivial atmosphere also. A lot of people are talking about the civility rules, which do create a convivial atmosphere. We'll talk about those when we get a little further in. Yes, thank you. How about some empathy? Yeah, how about some empathy? And remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about consensus building skills, a conscious effort to create consensus skills, which really do turn into a life skill, which is extremely valuable and extremely exciting. Because once you learn how to consensus build, once you learn how to get along, Well, you'll know it next time any kind of a dispute happens. So consensus building. This is a good point, too, that defining success helps define happiness. We talk a lot about defining success because we need to know where we're headed. We need to know what we're doing, right? We need to know how to define it. So defining success defines our happiness level, right? Because then we know where we're going and we know when we've got it, which makes us happy. And I think the last one we're going to talk about is the fact that we should celebrate each success, celebrate each step, especially if it's going to take a while. And there's lots of steps, and it seems like, oh, my God, this is really dragging. But it's really not. It's just that sometimes things take a while, right? Yeah. And we want to understand that and be able to understand that we are getting to success. It's just it's not immediate. It takes some doing, right? Right. So let's start. Let's talk about patience, right? The patience to do what? Ah, Hussein says, and a lot of other folk are saying, the patience to listen, to really listen, to listen to what people are saying, to listen to how they're saying it, to their tone of voice, right? Yes, to their inflection, to how they are responding to each other. Ooh. Pardon me, took a sip of water. Listening will also give you an idea of whether or not there's a prior relationship that is having an influence now. Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes people have worked together before. They have known each other before. They have a failed relationship before that was personal. But still it's impacting how they feel about each other and how they deal with each other in our situation. All very important to understand and to know, and to inquire further. We're going to go for the next thing we're going to talk about, well, a little bit further down, is empathy. And one of the things we'd like to know, to understand, is the prior relationships amongst the people. Sometimes people have worked together before and it hasn't been all that fabulous. Or sometimes the opposite has occurred. And they've worked together before, and it's been kind of too fabulous. They've formed a clique, which is an exclusionary group. It means that we are the cool kids. We only talk to each other, and everybody else is excluded. No, we're not going to do that because it is uncivil. It's rude. And people are asking what to do about that. The answer that I usually have is I separate them. I give them a talking to, privately, first off, and then maybe in front of everybody. And I separate them out if possible. I make subcommittees. I make them in different groups. I do something to prevent that because it is simply not acceptable to be exclusionary. We're all in this together. We're all a team. And we're all going to act like a team, and that's the truth, right? Right. So we want to listen for that. We want to make sure that that's not what we've got. We want to make sure that people are there and really, really interested and really going to do something, really going to help, right? We're also going to watch body language, as Lee says. Tone of voice is somewhat body language, but also how do they stand in relation to each other. Does that make sense? Whether or not they've got their arms crossed and they're looking belligerent, because facial expression is body language, right? Fidgeting is body language. It's a lack of interest. Let's all get together and take some interest in this. Using your cell device, your communication device, I'd call it a phone, but the darn thing's more than a phone nowadays. I don't like people. In fact, I have a rule about it. And I know this is a little bit eccentric, but because I don't want you to use electronic devices and search the internet and text each other. And like, it's like passing notes in class. It's the new passing notes in class. And like that, I do not want you to take notes about our meetings, about our negotiations, using a device. That's why pens and paper were made. You want to take notes, you want to write down what you're going to say, make a little outline so that you can remember the points. Good. I pass out pens and paper. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very old-fashioned, but you can only do so much with a pen and a paper. And it's not reach the outside world and blog about what we're doing. There will be no blogging, etc., while we're in process, because the process is ongoing, right? We don't know anything yet. And whatever you put out onto the internet goes into the world and stays there forever and will be misquoted. Right? Right. Absolutely misquoted. Somebody will take little pieces out of it later on as an historical reference. No. We're going to not do that. We have a moratorium on any kind of internet discussion of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We need to look something up as we're standing there. I've got a laptop. We will look it up on mine. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got the only laptop in the room. Because in case we need to look something up, that's fine. But we're all going to do it as a group, standing over each other's shoulders looking at it. Mm-hmm. Patience to answer questions. Yes. Oh, I'm going to answer a question right now that's being asked by several people. Hello, everyone. By the way, thank you for all of your participation and for being here and coming and listening and like that. You make my show. Make our show, really, because it's not scripted. Mm-hmm. Patience to answer questions. Here's a question that's being asked. The question is, how do you know if people are texting up and back to each other? The answer is, first of all, they're furiously typing on their device, which is not allowed. Second of all, you've got someone else in the room looking up and smiling and giggling at the person that passed them the note. Right? Right. It's obvious. Watch the body language. And also, we do not take out our devices during negotiation, during the process, unless for some reason it's part of the process. So you'll know it because they're using it. And that's the truth. We're not touching them, right? Right. Mm-hmm. You have to have the patience to answer questions. Yes. Yes. George and others are saying that you need to answer questions more than once, the same question, and be calm about it. And also, you have to have the patience to repeat the instructions. Because people think they've got it. They think they understand what they're doing. But they didn't hear what you said. They didn't hear what you said properly, right? Yeah, because they didn't understand it. That's how we know. They didn't hear what you said properly. Well, folk, you need to repeat the instructions, even if nobody's asked a question, because they didn't know the question to ask. And sometimes you have to think up the questions and ask them yourself to get the conversation started, because people are embarrassed to ask a question. They want to seem stupid for the other people. Everybody wanted to know it, let's face it, but they didn't want to, but they felt that they were the only one that didn't understand. Well, fill in the blank. And we're going to ask questions and answer questions. And we're going to repeat instructions different ways. And I've seen this done and it doesn't work. If you say the same exact instruction slower and louder, it doesn't work. People didn't understand it the first time, or you wouldn't be saying it slowly and loudly. Say it in a different way. Make it more clear. You may think it's crystal clear and are feeling annoyed. If it was crystal clear, you wouldn't need to be feeling annoyed because everybody would be following it. So it's obviously not clear enough. That seems clear to me. It should be clear to you. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So you need to repeat instructions. You need to answer questions. No question is stupid. But if the same question is being asked by the same person and it's delaying the process over and over and over and over and over again, that person needs to ask it in private. Needs to ask it of your administrative assistants, maybe, even, right? Until, because what happens is sometimes people don't like the answer because it's not what they want and it's not exactly what they came for, right? So they keep asking the question, hoping that the answer will change. They have to understand that we are consensus building and you can't get everything you thought you were going to come back with, and the answer is not going to change. The answer is the answer, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So you need to answer questions, and then you may need to have a little conversation with someone. If the same question that we've all gone past is holding up the process, because I've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Which means also that one of the things you have to have the patience to do is to track progress. Because you don't see these people all the time, do you? In fact, in today's technology with Skype and everything, sometimes you don't see each other in person hardly at all, body language and stuff, right? So you have to watch. But you need to keep track that they've understood the instructions, that they know where it is they're heading, that they understand what it is they're supposed to do is the key to this, right? To track progress, to understand what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And maybe misunderstood, and they think they are doing what there is that they're supposed to be doing. But when it comes down to it, they've gone off track. They haven't exactly understood what their role is, right? And they've gone far afield. And it's like, oh, that's nice. No, it's not. My word, that's not what we had in mind. And you have to know that because you might have a, oh, my word, that's not what we had in mind moment there. But you need to catch it before it gets to that state. So somebody has to track progress. How do you do this? You ask people to report in on a regular basis. How's it going? What are you doing? Could you show us preliminary results? Could you show us what it is that you're working on and how you're approaching it? Not to criticize, but to understand that we all need to be on the same page, right? We need to be working towards the same goal, and we need to be doing it successfully is the key to this, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Who tracks is the question that's being asked. That's a good question. Usually you as leader are too busy because you've got a whole bunch, as you get more experience, you're going to have a lot of different groups that you're handling at the same time, right? You can't just do one at a time. You could, but it's not time efficient. It's not economically efficient, right? Right. So you've got a whole bunch of stuff that you're juggling, and you need someone to keep track of progress on the individuals in each group. And you don't have time. You don't have the ability to do so. So you need someone else to do it. Ah, people are asking about interns. The answer is they're very nice people. Interns, and this is a global show, so sometimes it's called something different somewhere. Interns work for no money but for credit. Well, sometimes I suppose they work for a small amount of money, but not money to really count, not a living wage. And they usually, in our neck of the woods, they get college credit. Recipe for Peace Now actually requires that they be higher than just college students, like in an MBA program, a Master of Business Administration. which means that they already have a college degree, they've already got some life experience under their belt because they are not so young. And we're kind of fussy because, quite frankly, and I mean this in the nicest way, we're kind of desirable. And so people want to deal with us. They want to be working with us. It's a fabulous resume enhancer. And so we can choose. But even if you're kind of newish and people are not kind of sure, remember that you have to train your interns is the key to this. You have to train them so that they understand what they're doing, even if they're really intelligent. Even if they have worked in the real world before, they haven't worked with you before. They haven't worked with your organization. They don't know how you do things. So there's a training period, a getting to know you period, before they can be useful. Yeah. And somebody needs to do that. Somebody needs to oversee them always. And somebody needs to give them a grade. They have to meet with you, and you have to really have some feedback. I mean, it's not free to you in the sense that it's time. It's time and effort. We require, because there is a substantial amount of time and effort, we require that our interns be able to stay at least a year. That's depends what your terms are. It's four quarters. In a college term. If you're on the quarter system, it's semesters other than that. Whatever constitutes a year, we require that they be able to do that, that they sign up. Because quite frankly, it takes a few months for them to really get in the groove and really be self-sufficient-ish. And if they're leaving after 3 months, then you haven't gotten any benefit and you've expended a lot of effort. That's just the way of looking at it, but it's true. Because in order to have, and they haven't had any experience either. All they've had is some training and somebody kind of watching them. Well, that's nice, but gee, you don't need somebody watching you all the time, right? Right. You want to be able to be more self-sufficient than that. Want to be able to say, you know, this is what we're doing, and we're going to go forward, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, took a sip of water. So it's important that if you're going to have interns, that you have them for long enough. It's important that you be kind of fussy and not get excited about free help, because they're not free in that sense. And besides, you want they make a report on you too. It goes both ways. They do, well, usually they do at least, they do an assessment about their experience. And they want to have gained some experience also. So it goes, it works both ways, right? Right. Yes. I think that if possible, and I know some of you are new to the field and it's not easy, I think it's really important to have at least one paid person. Somebody who's a full-time, long-term, going to be there in a couple of years type employee. I think that's really important because it's continuity. And they keep track of everything. Now, I must confess that I have some staff, but I have one person who's truly my liaison. I pay her extremely well because she's invaluable. I hope she's not listening. She'll want a raise. But it's very important to have, I don't know how to say this better, an adult in charge. Does that make sense to you? It's important to have somebody who's truly invested, who's truly a professional, to keep track of everything. When I show up at a negotiation, I have all kinds of stuff in front of me so that I remember where we are, what we're doing, and who the people are. I also know how far we've progressed in our research and in our negotiations and in our going forward. Since the last time we met, I know I have everything in front of me. It makes me look like a genius. Really, I'm not that big a genius. It's just that I've got quite a bit of experience, and I have a fabulous assistant who understands what it is that I need, right? She tells me where to go, I go there, and I do it. Fabulous. You need to have someone like that. You need to have someone you can trust and will be there past the time of the interns and will help train the interns and really keep track of them too. If you're going to have a squadron of interns going and doing stuff, they need tracking too so that you understand that they've understood what on earth it is that they're doing that's going to be helpful. Because otherwise they're just underfoot. They're just a hindrance, right? So you need someone to track progress. Yes, there are computer softwares to do this, but somebody has to be in charge of the computer software. Somebody has to do it. Mm-hmm. Our next topic, because that was patience, and thank you for being patient, we talked about a little while, is that we're going to model happiness. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What kind of model happiness for what? Ah, yes, thank you. Muhammad says model happiness for the process, right? We're in this together. I am delighted that you were all here, that we're all going to get this done, right? And you have to look delighted. You have to act delighted. And quite frankly, you should feel delighted too. Why not? Why not be enthusiastic? These people have come to do something good, and they have selected you to be their leader in getting that done. What could be better? Nothing. Look how fabulous that is. We are working together towards a common goal, a common good, like I say in the beginning of each show, right? Yes. What could be better? And I like to explain the process as we're going along, explain what we're doing. I think transparency is very important, primarily because I love to be told stuff. I want to know what's going on, what we're doing, how this is going to impact our final decision, what it is that's my role in it, right? I explain stuff constantly. I explain procedural stuff. I explain what we're doing and what's expected of you to do. I like to make things clear. And if I haven't made things clear, because sometimes people just don't quite understand, if I haven't made things clear, I like to have questions, right? Right. Especially clarity and questions if I'm using an interpreter, because computer interpreters are not really Star Trek quality yet. I mean, they will be. And they've gotten a whole bunch better. But I still use human interpreters if we've got people with different languages in the room, in the process. And the interpreter interprets, right? They don't exactly say each exact word in the exact same way you said it. They do and they don't. I like the ones that really do a more literal translation. But sometimes they kind of interpret what you're saying because there's not exactly a literal way of saying it. Well, that's confusing. So I want to be sure that we all understand what it is that we're doing. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of happiness and enthusiasm. Let's call it enthusiasm. Model enthusiasm for the process, for reaching getting done, right? Sometimes you have a group that is not difficult exactly, but adversarial to each other. They start out that way. They start out kind of with a chip on their shoulder, which is an Americanism, but it means they started out with a preconceived notion of, well, preconceived notion that's not good. Sometimes I have groups that have a preconceived notion of failure, primarily because they failed before, and they think that that's how it goes. And ladies and gentlemen, they are wrong. That is not how it goes. But they think that. They think that they're going, that this is a lost cause, right? Nothing is a lost cause. It's just that you need to find a different way of getting it done. And that's the truth. Everything can be done, can be accommodated, can be worked on. It's just a question of doing it, of getting it done, of really being able to see what needs to be done and go forward, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So you need to model enthusiasm. Because if you're not enthusiastic as leader, if you don't say, look, this can be done, we're fine, we're getting there, don't worry, we're getting there, yeah, we're fine, we've got this, keep going, right? Yeah, enthusiasm for the issues, for the process, for the people involved, right? For the group dynamic, for the future. Because remember, all of this is for the future to be implemented. Because we can draw a successful outcome, a successful conclusion, but it also needs to be implemented in some way. All very important, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to model happiness. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that we're going forward and succeeding, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a reasonable question. Ian and others are asking, what happens if you've really kind of lost your enthusiasm and you're still going, you're still leading, but it's not, you're really not so sure anymore, right? Mm-hmm. That happens. You should do one of two things. You should regain your enthusiasm. Think it through. Think it through what can be done. Think it through how come you're feeling kind of down about the whole process. What's causing that, and let's fix it. Because usually there's a reason for that. It's just you haven't just, I don't know, lost hope in general. There is some sort of a reason why you've decided that, oh, God, this is just not going to work. Well, let's fix that and figure out a way that it should, that it could work. If you can't, if you've had it, if you just can't go forward, then pass the baton to a different leader. Yeah, don't keep doing the motions because you want to be paid. No. You know why? Because it'll ruin your reputation. It will. It will ruin your reputation because it means that you won't have a successful outcome because you just don't care about the successful outcome anymore. That's no good. We need to care. We need to do it. We need to be able to say, look, this is why we are here and we're going to go forward, right? Yes, and we are enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Yes. And if we do that, if we have enthusiasm, if we understand, we've thought about it, we understand what it is that's kind of causing the clog, right? And we act upon it, we will create a convivial atmosphere. People will feel enthusiastic themselves because they'll go, look, Sue's done this a zillion times, and she's convinced that we're going to make it. We've got this. We're in. We're in business. This is all going to be fine. We're going to be fine, right? Whoa, we're going to be fine. This is fabulous. Let's work towards that. Let's say, look, we're going to be fine. We're going to reach our successful outcome. And if the whole group is kind of feeling a little adverse, you know, you can tell them a very surprising fact. I don't know why this is a surprising fact, but it is, because I've done it many times, and this is always a shock to people. Do we get this done? The sooner we can get rid of each other. What an idea, right? The faster we get this done, the sooner we can get rid of each other. The sooner we'll be done. The sooner we'll be able to just go, right? Yeah. What could be better than that? Yay, team. That's what we really want. We want to get done. We want to go get on with our lives, right? Yes. The faster we reach our successful outcome and implement it, the faster we don't have to deal with each other again. And the funny thing is that after we've been successful, people who came in with real nasty preconceived notions, also called bigotry and bias, right? They decide next time they need some sort of person to deal with, the issues crop up again in a different way. They go, you know, I still don't like that entire group of people because it's not our job to cure their long-held preconceived notions. It's our job to get them to work together. And so they go, well, that person in that time in that group was an exception to the rule of why I don't like this group, and I can work with him or her again for this issues. And they go, oh, well, yeah, I don't like you either, really. But as an individual, we can work together. You see, it works out extremely well because you don't have to like each other. You just have to work together. You have to be friends. You have to be willing participants, as I say. Right? Right. Don't have to be friends. Have to be willing participants. So, we're going to have a convivial atmosphere because we're modeling enthusiasm. And we're going to have the civility rules. Yes, you knew I was coming to them. Because that makes a convivial atmosphere. A convivial atmosphere is welcoming, right? It says, you know, we're glad you're here. Let's get this done. Hey, what could be more convivial than that? And there's usually a little food thrown in with it because we use food as a tool to get the everything going, to get us to be able to talk to each other about something that we're not going to fight about, right? Yeah, everybody loves food. So the civility rules come into a convivial atmosphere. At their base, and I know those of you who have been here before, thank you for returning, but there's some new people always too, and hopefully you'll be regulars. Yay! At their base, the civility rules say we will not be rude to each other. We will not be rude to each other. We will take turns. Right? We will not, sigh, make noises. We discuss the texting thing. Be imperious or dismissing, right? Yeah. No, we will do none of those things. We will not attempt to bully anybody else or to in some way hijack the group towards failure. Yes, I see this with, some frequency. The civility rules need to be announced. I announce them always, even though I sometimes have groups I'm fairly sure don't need me to announce them. And we've dealt with each other before, and they go, yeah, we've got that part. Don't worry about that. They need to be announced, and they need to be enforced immediately, consistently, and fairly. Immediately, consistently, and fairly. Everyone treated with respect is the idea of the convivial atmosphere and the civility rules. Everyone treated with respect. Now, sometimes you have someone who is bent on violating the civility rules. I have this with some frequency. Primarily because if I have a specialty, and I don't know if this is really a specialty or not, I oftentimes get brought in to a group that has a set members. I can't get rid of the membership. For some reason, they're the ones that need to be there. I do corporate a lot. There is a certain level. There is a certain power. And this group has already attempted to reach a successful outcome, but they have failed, right? And I am brought in as the new sheriff in town. In fact, I actually call it that. And I announce the civility rules, and I enforce them and like that. But sometimes, A, the group has a preconceived notion of failure because they've already done it. They failed. So they go, oh, no, not another time. This is hopeless. See, they have a hopeless attitude, which is why we have to model enthusiasm, right? And oftentimes, the prior leader who failed, I don't like to use the word failed, but all right, they failed. Let's face it. The prior leader is now a participant in the group. They would like to show that the group failed not because they were an incompetent doofus, but because nobody could save it. Think about that for a minute. I've got a group that is kind of hostile towards success because they didn't do it before and they don't want somebody brought in, and the former leader has kind of a clique going. I need something before I set foot in that room or on that Skype, and we're not necessarily always in the same room. I need power. Yes, I need the power to enforce the civility rules. Otherwise, they're just words, civil words, but words nonetheless. I need the power to enforce the civility rules. Now, let's think about that for a moment. What do I need to ask for? And who do I need to ask? In this show, in our world here, we're going to use the word employer as a generic. The employer, for purposes of this discussion, is whoever it is that brought you in, whoever you're dealing with as your higher up, whoever's paying you, essentially speaking, a person, an organization, a board, whatever. They might not actually technically be your employer. We're using it as a generic term. I'm calling everybody that brought you in an employer, even though that might not technically be the relationship. Okay? Everybody got that? Right. You must get it straight with your employer what it is that you have as backing. What kind of teeth do you have? What can you do if someone refuses to play, right? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can enforce? What is it that I can threaten you with? Let's face it. That's what we really want to know. What is it that I can threaten to do that will make you comply, that will make you comply with my civility rules? Because it's important, because it's necessary, because I say so, right? No, really, it's because it really is important. It's important to be able to say, this is what we're doing. This is what we are achieving. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to strive for, right? Very, very important to have the civility rules in place and to be able to say, this is it. This is what we're doing, right? Right. You need power. You need it to the employer to back you. You need power over their employment, over their finances, over something that they want. Position. Can you throw them? Maybe you need the power to throw them off the committee, throw them off the group dynamic, right? Even though they're the right level, because if they don't cooperate, they aren't going to be the right employment level anymore. Mm-hmm. And you need to have the employer come in and say that. I call in employers all the time so that we can have a civility rule enforcement. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere. It's just going to fall apart. I actually like to get what I can expect the employer to do to back me, and whether or not I can impact something serious if we don't obey the civility rules and really act like we want this to succeed. I actually have that put in writing with my contract before I set foot. If you can't get that, if you can't get that done, run. Don't take on the case, because you'll have nothing. You'll be left dangling with just talking about it. That's nice, but no, it's not nice, and you're going to fail because nobody could get this done, right? And then that will be a bad thing and hurt your reputation. I have my reputation because I'm fussy, and that's really the truth. And I'm fussy about enforcement ability. Mm-hmm. Next thing we're going to talk about is empathy, because you cannot have happiness in the group if you don't understand each other. You can't infuse happiness if you don't know what happiness is to these people, to this group. What is it that they want? Remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. People think empathy is agreement. Oh, I have empathy for you. I agree. That's terrible. No, empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. In order to have this understanding, we're going to ask the 5W questions. The 5W questions are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why. Do we ask them all in that order? Not necessarily. Do we ask them all in one sitting? Not necessarily. Do we ask them in front of everybody? That's a judgment call. I usually start out privately, especially if there's something that needs to be, well, I don't like to use the word reprimanded, but something that needs to be reprimanded, if you know what I mean. Pardon me. Oh. Hang on a second. I'm going to take another sip of water. Not cough in your ear. Pardon me. So, this is important to know. But one way or another, we want to get down to who, what, where, when, and why, so that we understand where the response is coming from. So we understand what's happening. So we understand why somebody is doing this, why somebody has this opinion, so that we understand that we are working on it, right? Yeah. So we need to have real understanding, and we need to understand how far out of their comfort zone we are bringing people, and how they still feel enthusiastic. They still take a 3 deep breaths. Oh, okay. We're going to step out of our comfort zone because this is a really good group. We're happy to be here, right? Happy, enthusiastic. We can see that it needs to be done. Whew, it's just hard. Right? Yeah. Thank you for asking. You see, questions are important. We've actually had shows on this. Prior shows are archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Basically speaking, your comfort zone is the way things have always been done. Right? You're comfortable with it. It's the way things have always been done. It's predictable. It's easy. It's yeah, we know how that's going to work because it's how it's always worked, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need people to step outside of that comfort zone, and it's hard. You can see you don't like to step outside of your comfort zone, do you? No, nobody likes to. And so you need to be able to say, oh, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to be calm. We're going to get this done, right? Right. And go forward. Mm-hmm. So, you need to be able to really have empathy for how hard that is, and understanding. You have to have empathy. Who do you have empathy for? which is the question. Everyone is the answer. First of all, each other, right? Yeah, the other participants. How about empathy for our employer? So we understand what they really want. Because sometimes what they say, and we're going to be talking about defining success, sometimes the employer has a definition of success that is unrealistic, but they know it's unrealistic too. And we have to get down to what it is do you really want? What's the purpose of this negotiation? What are we doing, right? Yeah, that's the important part. What's the purpose? What are we doing? What is it that we need? For outsiders. So that even if we disagree with them, we can understand what it is, why they think that, why they've taken that stand, right? This is a good point. Suki says that we're talking about empathy and happiness and like that and a convivial atmosphere. And she says that happiness is infectious, and so is unhappiness. Happiness is infectious, and so is unhappiness. Yes, we catch it from each other. And so if we're all feeling good about this group and we're going to, we're heading forward like that, we're getting there, we can feel the progress, happiness will be infectious. If we feel the opposite, that will be infectious too. And once that settles in, once despair settles in, hard to turn it around. So make sure it doesn't in the first place. We're going to teach consensus building, which will be happiness, right? Yes, thank you. Lee says that consensus building is a life skill. And it is. You can take it home with you because some of this stuff is process. It's negotiation process. But how to build consensus and how to get along with different kinds of people, that'll make your life happy because you'll understand how to have empathy and how to create a more convivial atmosphere to project happiness, right, and enthusiasm and civility and consensus build. You'll have learned stuff that is really life skills. People send all kinds of little notes and stuff. It's very gratifying years later. And they go, you know, that what I learned from you, I've used ever since. And I'm like, yes, that was the point. Defining success defines happiness was our next one. We are going to run out of time. And I apologize in advance that we are not going to get to the recipes. I'll try to get to them next time. Defining success defines happiness. Well, we need to know where we're going. We need to know it when we've got it so that we know that we've gotten there, right? The question is who defines? Sometimes the leader, but I don't like to. I like to make a group effort because you get more buy-in like that. People feel more engaged if they've been asked, right? They've had an input. Sometimes the employer defines success right from the outcome, what they want to be accomplished by this group. Well, that's important to know, too. They have to understand that it's flexible. And sometimes circumstances define success. Circumstances define success. How about we've lost funding? Or maybe we've gained funding, which is a good circumstance. That doesn't have to be a bad circumstance. Some sort of other groups have popped up as opposition, which didn't exist before we were getting somewhere, right? Because they didn't know they wanted to be opposition. Does that make sense? It certainly does. Yeah. How about we've had to be flexible in our definition? Because as we did the research, as we thought about it, we understood more about the consequences of our acts. We might have brought in experts in order to prevent unintended consequences, which are always ugly, so that we don't do something that adversely affects someone else, and we didn't realize it. because we only looked at it from a certain direction, right? Mm-hmm. As our final topic, we're going to talk about the fact that we will be happy if we understand that we're having success, which means that we need to celebrate each success. Celebrate each success. Mm-hmm. Because if you celebrate each step, each successful step, then you will understand that you are having progress. Look how far we've come, even though it seems like it's taken a long time. We have had progress. Look how far we've come, even though it seems like we're taking a long time. It seems like, oh my God, this isn't working. But it kind of is. It's just taken a while. And sometimes things take a while. And that's okay. Sometimes things take a while, but that's okay. It's really, really something that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. Yes. You also need to celebrate as a group. So it helps the group dynamic. It helps us feel connected to each other. It helps us feel, oh, we're really getting somewhere, right? Yes, thank you. Eric and others are saying that sometimes you need to celebrate each success because you may not get to the big overreaching one that you thought you might. Got a lot of more steps in between than we thought, right? Sometimes that happens. You've got more steps in between to get to the big success than you kind of thought you did from looking at it. It's more complicated than it seemed. That's okay. It means that we're getting more understanding. It means that we are working our way towards really developing what needs to be done. Nothing wrong with that. We are working towards our success, and we're going to get there. We're going to manage it. It's just going to take us a minute. That's all right. We need to celebrate each time we have a success. Mm-hmm. Yes. Even if it's not exactly the complete intended success that we thought. Let's do it step by step. Let's show us progress. Let's show the employer progress too, right? Yeah, they're invited. Let's show that we are making headway. Because sometimes things kind of meander for a while. And it seems like, oh, Jesus, this is taking forever. But it's really not. It's, well, it kind of is. But it's getting worked out. Not everything is so cut and dried. Right? Right. My friends, we are out of time. We will get to the recipes hopefully next time. I know, but we've had a wonderful discussion. And I know some of you really like the recipes. We will get there. For those of you who are celebrating it now, Happy New Year to everyone, right? Thank you to everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.